Hey everybody, Ronan back again with Africa Logs. That was Yashkar by Fema Efron from his album Soul Machine. Fema Efron being one of the more acclaimed bass guitarists I think he's based in San Francisco or New York right now. But he does have his roots, his Jewish roots, set firmly. And this particular album has a great deal of Hasidic and Egyptian influence to it. And seeing as Ethiopia has a lot of Arabic influence to their own music, I thought it made some amount of sense. So that's why we had Fema Efron. I'm still trying to keep the music that we're using sampling for this particular Africa Log sessions strictly from my iTunes collection. So I've not gone out and searched for other music, perhaps more authentic, but wanting to give you a taste of what I have. You are meeting me after I've had a drink, my ninth drink in my life. I'm a complete teetotaler in general, but I can be persuaded to have alcohol when I am trying something entirely new, especially for cultural taste reasons. This time I was drinking something whose name I've forgotten, because I'm very bad with names, not because I'm drunk, made out of fermented honey. It was served to us from a bottle with a plastic lid, but it served into a rather, I'm losing the word right now, but it was in a flask. It was one of those chemistry flasks that you might have with a small opening at the top, and you were supposed to drink it from that. Very good center of gravity, but not exactly what you drink alcohol out of normally. Interesting, fabulous food once again. We had the fasting food, the food for the people who are fasting and are on Lent right now. And it was fabulous. It was phenomenal. It was vegetables and it was pulses and it was, it was great. We had it with injera. And injera is made out of a cereal called teff, something that we don't have. Teff is something that looks like grass when you look at it as it's growing in the fields. And it grows about the height of pretty long grass, maybe a little less than your knee. And it's a non-glutinous, fabulous food that is used to make this dosa-shaped thing that I mentioned maybe a couple of days ago. And it's fabulous. It tastes slightly sour, slightly like Emily, but it's really, really good. And it's gluten-free. So the people in Ethiopia are really healthy. They're really, really healthy, despite the fact that there are very few vegetables in their diet. Pop. So this time around, we're going to do a brief history of Ethiopia, more or less. Excepting I will interrupt to say that I was in the outskirts in a place called Darjazet. And I was in a flower farm and started drizzling at first, and then started raining far away, and people said, let's run, it's going to rain. And you could actually see the rain because it was huge open field area, and you could see the horizon till very far away, and you could see the rain coming from the horizon. You could see it coming from the mountains in the horizon, getting further and further towards you as it was raining heavily over there. And we rushed for the rain ultimately caught up with us, but we rushed for shelter. It was a very Hollywood twister moment. It was like rain coming towards you, like how sandstorms come towards you in a Hollywood film. Very interesting. Right, brief history of Ethiopia or Abyssinia, really, really brief. I'm going to start with modern times. I'm not going to start with all the way back because I don't know it very well. I don't even know the modern times very well, but just to give you perspective, Ethiopia was unconquered for a very, very long time, and then ultimately was conquered by the Italian army a fraction after World War One, mind you. And that's when the British came in and said, the Italians ruled for about 10 years. Then the British came in and said, bugger off, you do not need it here. And the British took very important positions. While the Italians were in power, the Ethiopian king had abdicated. I don't know whether abdicated is right, but had basically fled to England. And he was in England for some time. And he learned a bit of English, British culture. So the British came in, they held high positions for another 10 years-ish. And during that time, the roads changed. Left-hand drive became right-hand drive and subsequently turned back to left-hand drive. So we're left-hand drive right now. But there was a British influence at that point of time. British hung about, holding high positions, not a real great deal of influence, but they buzzed off eventually. And the king ruled until the 1970s. During the 1970s, and he was about 80 years old, there was a very, very bad drought. And there was very little food for all the people. But it was the king's 80th birthday, and he celebrated it in grand style, which led to a student uprising. And the students obviously wanted communism and socialism to come in. So a socialist military government took force because there was no government. Student uprisings, when they usually happen to overthrow a king, they haven't thought the entire thing through. So they didn't have a government set up to go in and rule. So it was a military government. It was a dictatorial but elected rule. Which led to a socialist government which went all the way up to 1991. Why 1991? Because there were very, very strong ties with the then USSR. And the USSR sort of fumbled around then. They especially had very strong ties with Belarus, which I came to know was a different country by itself. It has the city of Minsk. And Belarus separated from the USSR. And Ethiopia changed from a socialist structure where everything was owned by the state. In fact, even now it's semi-socialist. All land, for example, is owned by the government. And it moved into a semi-privatized structure. So then, just like India, cars came in, the farms got sold off to commercial players. Coca-Cola came in, everything got a little bit more open up at that point of time. Up till date, you're paying rent to the government when you're leasing the land that you're farming upon, or you're leasing the land that you're living in, and the government can at any point of time come up and tell you, hey, bugger off, this land is ours, the lease or whatever agreement we have, it's no longer yours. You can trade ownership, so you can sell your ownership agreement to another person, but you are still renting and you are paying a very nominal fee to the government. And by very nominal fee, I mean something around 120 birr per hectare, which is 300 rupees per hectare, which is not that bad. Little bit about Ethiopia. Still kind of socialist, still governments holding very important positions. And quite a dictatorial rule until the last presidential elections, where we've got a weaker president in right now, slightly different. And I'll quickly mention there's a couple of religions, Muslim, Coptic, Christians, and an assortment of other orthodoxies. A very, very religious place is Ethiopia or Abyssinia. Here's some more Fema Ephron for the last 1.5 minutes.